All right, back, and some very important news this hour. Reverend Ted Pike joins us again to bring us up to date on the efforts, and there are many, and they're growing, to pass so-called anti-hate laws in the United States and other measures which will equally cripple and then curtail and then remove your freedom of speech. No, I'm not joking. These bills are pending in the Congress, and they're sponsored by some otherwise, allegedly, patriotic Americans. But at least they are, in my opinion, Americans who have failed to read the Constitution lately, if at all. Ted Pike is back with us right now. Let's find out what the latest is. Hi, Ted.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Yes, you know, I would consider it quite a luxury just to have one hate bill, and I could direct all the firepower of the new right in that direction. But unfortunately, the powers of the Democratic Congress and the ADL and so forth are bringing in no less than three hate bill or
okay, now
crime.
All right, this is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. Thus far, and Ted Pike has been literally leading the fight as strong as it has been for well over 10 years now to stop these measures from being adopted by our treasonous, traitorous Congress. Now, we saw one defeated last year, and Ted said, of course, as he always does, they'll be back. Well, they're back now, but they're doing something different. They're coming at us from three different directions now, not just one. There are three different bills pending. Now, go ahead,
yes.
Ted.
Yes, that's right. Well, I think tonight what we have to do is to sort through this, because if you have too much legislation coming at you suddenly like this,
sure,
people have a tendency to get confused, disoriented, and that means no action at all.
They withdraw, that's right.
Yeah, and fortunately we've had a couple of major issues this new session of Congress. The hate bill, H.R. 254, was introduced by Sheila Jackson Lee on January 5th, but also just at the same time, Section 220 of the Lobby Reform Bill was also quietly inserted in the new Lobby Reform Bill, and that would have imposed crushing reporting requirements on small lobbyist, Christian conservative lobbyist organizations in the United States. And so we had two issues on our hands, but very fortunately, I think that the new right did a good job. There was a loud upheaval of protest against Section 220. We got that stripped out in the Senate. And the good news is that the Section 220 has not been reintroduced in the new Lobby Reform Bill, which Pelosi is now submitting to the House of Representatives. This is a major victory. On the other hand, the big federal hate bill, which is H.R. 254, is now in the House Judiciary Committee. It's lurking there. No action has been taken on it. It also has received quite a drubbing. I was leading the fight clear back, as you remember, you and I, at middle of November, announcing that we had to be proactive in informing the nation and the church that this hate bill was coming, and we might as well get started prejudicing Congress against it. And it came very early, but what I think has happened is that there's been such an avalanche of protest, which actually came in a great wave when American Family Association got on board. And as late as 3 weeks or a month ago, they didn't know anything about even a hate bill being in Congress. And I have a friend, I'm not going to give his name, but he's very familiar with many new right leaders and has been a writer and an official in the new right organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working very closely with me behind the scenes, literally saturating all of these new right organizations with alerts about the hate bill. And also telling them to come to truthtellers.org for all the information they need. But anyway, I said to my friend we did a survey of some 10 websites, and we could find only one website which had an upfront apparent article about the hate bill even being in Congress a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was Dobson that had an alert on it. So I said, Tim, you've got to get in touch with Wildman, the head of American Family Association. So we called and had a talk with Donald Wildman and his son, and they were shocked that the hate bill was in there. This is only a month ago. And so they worked all that week and that weekend getting a good article out. They sent it out to 3 million subscribers, and they said that they thought about 2 million actually reciprocated and sent in communications to the House. And so there's been quite a wave of calls coming in. Dobson has also alerted his people about it and so on. But what I found out several weeks ago, actually, from I was in a conference with Dobson's right-hand legislative analyst, Amanda Banks. My friend and I, we did a three-way conference with her, and she told us that the Focus on the Family had intercepted a what's called a dear colleague letter between a Representative Conyers of Michigan, who is the head of the House Judiciary Committee, and other select liberals in Congress, and he was basically saying that they were planning on dumping H.R. 254, which is the David Ray hate crimes law, and they were basically going to let that soak up all the new rights, zeal and opposition and thunder and so on, and then they were going to quietly reintroduce the much longer version, which passed the House of Representatives a year and a half ago, and move that very quickly through the House of Representatives, and they wouldn't have all the bad odor that H.R. 254, the shorter version, had, and it would go quickly to the floor, and the representatives would say, hey, what's this? You know, a hate crimes bill. You know, I haven't had any bad mail about that.
Right.
So they'd naively shoot it right through. So that was his strategy. But both Dobson and the National Prayer Network and others, including your website, we sounded the alarm and literally have put them now in the spotlight. Also, I should mention WorldNet Daily is getting on board, and they have had several large articles warning about the hate bill, in which I have been quoted at length, and I understand another article is even coming out tomorrow with me as a prominent leader and spokesman for this movement.
Very glad to hear that. Yeah,
yeah,
for Joe Farah. Right.
Yeah, you bet. And maybe I could go into this a little bit later, but we are seeing signs of cracking in the new right as this truth, not only about the danger to freedom, but who's behind this, is beginning to percolate into the new right. What's going on right now is that the big hate bill, H.R. 254 at least, is sitting in the House Judiciary Committee, and it's getting kind of late. I just wonder what's going on there, because other legislation has been introduced quite a bit later and has gone through their committees and so on. And what I might even dream of is that the ADL doesn't want to take a chance on the embarrassment of actually not even getting out of the House Judiciary Committee or the Subcommittee on Crime when they should be in their greatest position of advantage. So that's a reminder for folks to continue to call in, come to truthtellers.org, use the information. We have a powerful hate crimes flyer there. Keep sending those in to Judiciary and keep letting them know that we are watching them very, very closely. We're going to raise a real ruckus if that bill gets out of the Judiciary and goes to the floor of the House.
Okay.
So right now we are watching that very closely. We're watching Conyers. I just called this morning, and he has done nothing as far as introduced this threatened bigger hate bill, and it just seems to be sitting there for the time being. Now, the next issue, which has come up, is as I was mentioning at the beginning, we have a spectacular victory in shooting down Section 220 of the lobby reform bill. That's a major victory.
Yes. Right.
It'll be another couple years before they can pull that one on us again.
Right.
But at the same time, Congressman Henry Waxman, another like Levin and Lieberman, who sponsored Section 220, Waxman is another liberal, Jewish activist who is introducing really ominous legislation to take the place of Section 220, and it's H.R. 984. If you add a one before that, you get H.R. 1984. I'm not sure that's an accident. H.R. 984 is called the Executive Branch Reform Act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really Orwellian legislation. What it says is that all the members of the executive branch of the federal government, something like more than 9,000 federal employees, if they receive a call now from an American citizen, someone calling from Heartland America with any kind of an opinion about government, good or bad or whatever, if there's any kind of opinion there or any attempt to influence federal policy in any way, federal employees in the executive branch will be required to take down the name of that person, the date that the phone call came in. They will have to have a recorded, a detailed account of what was said in that conversation. I'll continue in a minute.
Very good. Okay, thank you, Ted. We are hearing the latest on the continuing assault on our liberty, our freedom of speech, our freedom to write and research what we want, our freedom of thought, ultimately. Ted Pike has been heroic, literally, for over a decade now, almost single-handedly at times trying to wake America up, and he has done a magnificent job of it. Be right back in just a couple minutes. This is a crucial issue, so stay with us. Okay, back with Ted Pike, ever vigilant, helping us protect what we have left in this country. All right, Ted, let's go ahead.
Yes, I was talking about H.R. 984, which is the Executive Branch Reform Act sponsored by...
The Wax Man.
Yeah, Wax
the
Man.
Wax Man. Now, look how they title these things. They always cover them up with the most stealthy, crappy, lousy, lying, phony titles. Give us that title again.
Yeah, it's the Executive Branch Reform Act.
Oh, yeah. It makes us think like they're going to somehow reform Bush and Cheney.
Yeah, anyway, even this week there's been publicity about a Freedom of Information week. It's called Sunshine Week back in Washington, letting freedom of information and transparency of government be open to the public view and all this kind of thing. Waxman is right there in front of everything. They're puffing him this week.
Oh, Waxman.
They want to get this bill through. Anyway, as I was mentioning before the break, it requires more than 9,000 federal employees now to, every quarter, may have to file detailed reports about every phone call or communication that has come to them in the previous 3 months that might be construed as an attempt to influence the U.S. government. Now, this means that if a colleague at the water jar, if he makes a comment about how he thinks government might run a little bit more effectively, that's got to be recorded. The date, the name of the person who said it, the content of that has to all be recorded. Uh-huh. If that employee goes to a restaurant or a bar at the evening and somebody makes a comment across the table from him, he's got to report that under federal law, date, details, content, name, everything. Even if he's sleeping in bed with his wife and his wife whispers something in his ear, he has to report that to the federal government, date, time, content, and name, and everything. And that means that at the end of every 3 months, every one of these over 900 federal employees will have a mountain of information they have got to report quarterly. And if they don't report accurately or on time, it's a $50,000 fine, loss of their jobs, terribly punitive punishment. Now, furthermore, in Waxman's bill, part of his openness in government, sunshine shining in on government, transparency in government, means that all this data will be reproduced on the Internet for all the world to see, which means if you have made a call to a member of the executive branch of government, your call in all of its details will be there for all the world to see without anyone ever asking your permission to have that those private thoughts reproduced for public scrutiny. And so what this is going to do, you know, Waxman talks about openness in government. What this actually does is it makes it so burdensome to even receive a call from Heartland America that a federal employee is not even going to answer that phone. He says he's going to say, I can't do my job. We can't run the government if we have to we have to be subject to all of this onerous reporting and detailing of every call that comes into it. And conversely, the American people are going to say, well, boy, I'm not going to call Congress. I'm not going to call the federal government now because they are going to be listening. They're going to be writing down, sure, basically tapping everything I say, and then they're going to spill it out to the whole world without my permission.
Right.
And even my enemies might be able to find out where what I think about certain issues and use it against me and so on. So rather than creating reciprocity between the American people and the government, what this does is create tremendous isolation as Big Brother government keeps within itself. I should mention that Waxman is immune to these reporting requirements. And members of Congress can communicate with themselves. Members of the Intelligence Committee, community and military can communicate with Waxman without any of these reporting requirements. But these hardworking federal employees are going to have all this tremendous paperwork laid upon them, which will be literally almost impossible to satisfy, crippling and creating a tremendous blockage in the free exchange between the governed and those who govern them.
See, this is not only going to afflict the targeted elements in our society, and we all know who they are, but this is going to be turned around, and it's going to bite the very hand that wrote this bill. And
yes.
It will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what these people need to be made aware of. How can you be so stupid supporting such crap when it's going to come home to haunt you as sure as you're sitting there writing it?
Right. Well, you know, if we look at the history of communist takeovers in the last half century, in China, I should say more like the past century, the Bolsheviks, long before they took over in Russia, they amassed very extensive lists of people of intelligence,
yep,
leaders, civic authorities, and so on, religious leaders. They made vast mailing lists. The same thing happened in China before Mao took over. Same thing was done by Castro in Cuba. Literally years they started compiling their lists of those they would liquidate immediately after having seized power.
Right.
Now, I believe that what Waxman is doing is a harbinger of a desire eventually to not only to take over this country, but to liquidate those who stick up their heads and declare themselves to be people of opinion, which is the last thing that communist leaders want in their society.
Got it. All true. And look what's happening in Iraq right now. How much of the middle class that hasn't fled has been liquidated? An awful lot of it. All the intelligentsia, all the professions have been ravaged by, obviously, outside assassination squads, shall we say? I think you can figure out who. All right, we'll be back with Ted in just a couple minutes. With Ted Pipe, we're talking about your right to freedom of speech. And you wonder, Ted, now the Waxman takes his orders, obviously, from higher-ups in terms of this kind of legislation. He didn't just think this up. So what is he thinking, if anything, or is he just following orders? What's your best guess? This is pure speculation, but what's your best guess?
Well,
I mean, the guy's been around, you know. He's not
stupid.
Yeah,
this all radiates out from ADL, the neighbor if. They are the geniuses, the legislative masterminds behind all of this legislation, whether it's here in the United States or in Europe, all over. Their language, their terminology fills all this kind of legislation.
Right, right.
And so this is coming out of ADL, B'nai B'rith. And in a word, what they're wanting to do is to take over. They're wanting to supplant American Christian society and morals with a new Judaic one-world order. This goes all the way back to the Talmud, goes all the way back to the Pharisees and their rivalry with Christianity, their hatred against the Goyim or the Gentiles, and their belief that they are predestined to someday rule over the nations in fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah, and to basically reestablish Hebrew monotheism over the whole world, and eradicating, obsoleting the mythologies, paganism of Christianity, which has a Trinity and three gods in one and all that kind of thing. So this is a very much of a spiritual battle we're in. It's not all political. This is a spiritual, moral, ideological battle. As as this rivalry between Judaism, rabbinic Judaism, and Christianity continues to work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned this probably before, but ADL head Abe Foxman has been described, of course, as a secular Jew, an atheistic left-wing Jew, all that. That's nonsense. He's a pious Orthodox Jew. In his latest book called Never Again, The New Anti-Semitism, he describes how passionate an Orthodox Jew he has been. And during most of his tenure as head of ADL, he was member of an Orthodox congregation in Teaneck, New Jersey. And after 25 years, he parted from them only because he believed they were not zealous enough in their prayers for the state of Israel.
Huh.
And in this book, he describes how that he has labored in the neighborhood summer camps and so on to instill a love of the Talmud and Kabbalah among the Jewish youth there attending these camps, and encouraging them to go to Israel where they can see real Judaism on the front lines.
Now, he's pushing the Talmud, and I assume he's pushing the version that we have seen all over the Internet for years, not some sanitized, rewritten version.
No, he's promoting the Talmud and Kabbalah in their pure form, in the Aramaic and Hebrew or whatever. He's trying to instill a revival of a religious feeling and conviction among secularized Jews here in the United States. And this is all quite baffling to most people, because they say, well, if this man is such a pious Orthodox Jew, why is he trashing Christian civilization? Why is he aligning himself with homosexuals? Why is he demanding that the Ten Commandments of the Jews be taken down from Judge Moore's courthouse? Why is he aligning himself and giving awards to pornographers like Hugh Hefner? And why is he demanding that Christians not proselytize Jews, or that Christian symbols like crucifixes and manger scenes be taken down in public? Well, all of that is a manifestation of this desire to break down Christian society in order that this, what he believes as a much more enlightened view of God and theology and the world, come into existence. You know, in the Kabbalah, especially, that's the Zohar or Kabbalah, the rabbis talk about how it's the duty of Israel to restore the world, or to bring order out of confusion. And to them, the greatest disaster in the history of the universe is that the Goyim, or the Gentiles, have gotten into control. And therefore, every means possible, any means possible, any devious or any subterfuge is permitted to these atheistical Jews in order to break down Christian civilization. Communism was their invention to break down capitalism and the strength of Western capitalistic laissez-faire society. They took over Russia with that in mind, to break down basically a Christian society. Liberalism, communism, socialism, all of these things are manifestations of one single goal, which is to break down the Christian resistance, Christian capitalistic resistance, which stands in their way of eventual conquest.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing right now, we are literally seeing right now, is they are setting up their house in Washington, D.C. and in Europe. They're setting up the basic institutions of government now by which they plan to rule. And the ADL will be behind the scenes pulling the strings, not only in a huge hate crimes bureaucracy, but now a thought crimes speech control bureaucracy, getting the name and personal information of any person with any intelligence and civic concern who calls into the government. So, as I mentioned, the bill number is H.R. 984. The longer version should be H.R. 1984, because it is truly Orwellian in its implications.
Sure.
Now Waxman's bill, Waxman is the newly appointed head of the Committee on Oversight of Government Reform, and believe it or not, this bill passed 20-0 recently. It was introduced fairly late, I believe in early February, and passed 20-0. It's moving ahead rapidly. There is nothing now that prevents it from being taken by Pelosi and put right onto the floor of the House this week.
Imagine
literally
the pressure on these people in the House to vote for this bill.
Just Excuse
imagine.
Me?
Imagine the pressure on Congress to vote for this bill.
Right. And as I say, Pelosi was deprived of Section 220 of the lobby reform bill, but they're making no bones about it. They want to fold this bill right in and take the place of 220, continue their agenda of mockery of the American people. The American people have spoken, saying we don't want this kind of big government intruding into our lives and restricting us and repressing us from our rights of petition and free speech.
Correct.
But now they're... Now this bill, I'm talking about three different bills here tonight. This bill is the one most imminent.
Well, it could be on the floor within a week, as you say.
It could be.
And I
should mention, I do have a powerful new brochure available at Truth Tellers, and maybe we can talk about that just a little more.
We shall, in just a couple minutes, with Ted Pike. Ted Pike talking about the threat, and it is a continual one, and they're not going to quit, Ted. They're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, attempting to tire us out and tire you out and bore the American people, at least confuse the American people. Now they've got three different bills pushing in the same direction.
Yes. I was just mentioning before the break that I've just come out with a powerful new brochure. It's called What's Wrong with Waxman's Thought Control Bill, H.R. 984. That's right on the front page at truthtellers.org. It'd be wonderful if our listeners could, if they can do nothing more, they should send this brochure to their House member. You see, it's out of committee now. It's going to the General House, so every House member should be receiving this brochure from their constituents in their home state. And also, we have 8 to 10 of the key legislative aides for every House member in Congress listed there at Truth Tellers. Find your member of Congress, and you find those legislative aides, and print out, 10 or 12 of these brochures and address them to the legislative aides. Get those percolating, working in the halls and back rooms of Congress. I believe we can create a ferment of anger and indignation that will cause, if enough of those can get in this week into Congress, we can lick this bill just like we did a Section 220 before it. Now, in the final few minutes, I want to talk about this last bill, which is H.R. 808. It's called it's for the Department of Peace and Nonviolence. Well, that sounds pretty good.
Say that again. Say that. Oh, I love it. Say it again.
It's the Department of Peace and Nonviolence.
Ah, yes.
Now, this is a huge educational influential organization which is to be established in Washington, D.C. under this bill. It demands 2% of the annual defense budget of the United States in order to keep it going. That amounts to more than $9 billion a year. They are wanting now to fund this organization. It's a huge bureaucracy with peace academies in it and all kinds of educational programs going all the way down to kindergarten level it's a hate crimes bill. It makes it very clear that it is dedicated to ending hate crimes and bias crimes in the United States, and full of ADL terminology. It's clear that ADL is also behind this, but it also it will assume an advisory role to the president and the Congress, so that the Congress and the president and his cabinet will never again be allowed to even think about of a war of any kind without the permission and the consultation of the Department of Peace. And this organization will have global influence and contacts, and will help unite the United States into this kind of hate crimes bureaucracy with the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe, which is another huge ADL B'nai B'rith bureaucracy. And what I'm doing right now is creating a hard-hitting article, which I'll be sending you to Jeff tomorrow night, plus another brochure that can be sent in to the members of the House and their legislative aides. We've just got to get the whole truth in there, because there's no other opinion, there's no other point of view except that which the little ADL man brings around every morning as he checks in on all of these Congress critters to see if they are being politically correct for the day.
Yep.
But if these brochures get in there, I believe that that it'll act as a yeast, as a ferment to create dissatisfaction against the ADL. I did mention in a previous e-alert last week how that one member of Congress from Arkansas sent out a letter to a constituent in which he revealed that he used the language out of my hate crimes brochure. This is Congressman Boozman from Arkansas, and he made it very clear that through a paraphrase, he made it very clear that the language of our hate crimes brochure had taken him off of the fence on the hate crimes issue, solidly over to opposition to the hate crimes bill. And I think he made an allusion there. He said many now are having grievous doubts about the hate crimes bill and the possibility that it might be abused and lead to legal precedent.
Might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, geez.
Like in Canada and Sweden and Germany and all these other countries.
Yep.
So, you know, people may be getting a little weary, and I've given three main thrusts of this Antichrist one world government here tonight. But the fact of the matter is, folks, the weariness you may feel after an hour or two of phoning is nothing compared to the weariness of living for months and even years in an old-fashioned Soviet-style gulag like Alexander Solzhenitsyn. You know, in his Gulag Archipelago, he recounts how that Frankel, the Jew, was presiding over those northern gulags. And he said, if we had known what they were bringing to Russia and what they would be visiting upon the Russian people, he said, we would have mobbed these Jews. We would have clawed out their eyes, he said, in order to keep from going into this kind of privation and hardship in these northern territories. Now, that's the alternative. And I have to speak tough to people tonight, because this is a watershed time in our republic, and the battlefield is the House of Representatives.
We need to make it real clear we're not speaking about all Jews by any measure either.
Well, of course not.
The facts of the matter are that in the case of the Russian gulags, the string pullers, the designers, the manipulators were essentially of Jewish origin.
Yes,
that's
they were.
Solzhenitsyn is talking about. Now, facts are facts, and we're not going to hide from facts. That doesn't mean anything about issues of so-called anti-Semitism at all. This is an issue of history. That was the history of the time.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I make that very clear. We're dealing with a cabal of what they describe themselves
as. The mentality.
As
it's a psychopathic, sociopathic mentality.
That's right. A cabal of evil Jewish leadership coming out of ADL, B'nai B'rith International. And they're a minority among world Jewry. There's about 500,000 members of ADL B'nai B'rith, but they are intent. As Rabbi Lapin said last year, I heard him on Trinity Broadcasting, he said, these secular Jews are intent. They are in organized opposition and antagonism to Christianity. And that's an Orthodox rabbi describing his brethren. He says, you're going to have to wake up, basically, Christians, that they are in relentless attack now on evangelical Christianity.
True.
And we've got to stand up, but there are good signs that the truth is getting out to the evangelicals.
Excuse me, Ted.
Yes.
Short on time. How is it that the majority of Christians still don't grasp it? They're waking up, but who was it just the other day went before AIPAC? Hagee.
Hagee, John Hagee.
And he said that 50 million American Christians supported AIPAC and Israel all the way.
Well, there's a we're seeing some signs, though. This is a cult, a superstition, a non-biblical a belief system that ADL has encouraged throughout the last century. But we are seeing some signs that many are waking up. I was just on a very interesting radio program just several days ago. It's True News. The True News is a website to get about 90,000 visits a day. And Rick Wiles is the head of that. He was a former executive with Trinity Broadcasting. He's now very much anti-Zionist. He had me on, had an excellent program with him.
Uh-huh.
But there's an evangelical website with a very large following, rapidly developing with a contrary point of view. And also I'm on with Pat Kiley, who has I think about 80 stations, uh-huh. Mainline Salem stations. He's featuring me now, And I was on USA Radio this morning with Charlie Butts.
Wow, congratulations.
And he interviewed me, and a very good interview. And also I should just mention that just this afternoon, Gordon Klingenschmidt, Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt, you know, was court-martialed for praying on the steps of the Capitol.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, Klingenschmidt called me. He wanted to tell me that he participated very recently in a 30-member conference call,
uh-huh.
which was sponsored by Janet Folger of the New Right, Janet Folger, and also Senator Brownback. And this was 30 New Right leaders, and he said they had nothing on their mind except the danger of a federal hate bill. They discussed this at length among themselves.
Wow.
Now, that's directly the result, primarily, of my friend who has been calling all of these people, getting them aroused about this. And the hate bill is a tremendous bridging issue. It's a transition issue which basically shows the evangelicals that even though they may love these Jewish activists and love these Zionists and so on, they are not loved in return because these people are intent on putting shackles and chains of persecution on them through their hate laws. So I believe that there's some cracks developing in this wall in evangelicalism, and as these evil Jewish leaders become more desperate and bold, I believe we can find positions of advantage to continue to harry them and attack them, and there's going to be a lot of evangelical eyes opened.
Well, I can't even imagine, honestly, Ted, where we would be today had you not taken up the challenge so many years ago and fought this. I don't even have the means to begin to express the gratitude of millions of Americans who will probably never be the wiser, but if they were, they would probably run to shake your hand. And you have an awful lot to be proud of, and I thank you on behalf of all free Americans for what you've done.
Well, thank you, Jeff. You're making a tremendous contribution yourself.
Well,
couldn't do this without you and many others.
Thank you, my friend. All right, Ted, we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Good night. Ted Pike, and he truly has been a one-man band, just like Catherine Albrecht and Lynn McIntyre with their spy chips program, Caspian. It's incredible what one or two people can do if they dedicate themselves, body and soul, to a mission. And especially if that mission is good. And protecting our freedom of speech is about as good as it gets.